Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida.
If there's one thing that just of many that really grinds my gears, it gets my goat, you know, all that kind of stuff, it's when young people are referred to as the church of the future or the church of tomorrow or one day. And I understand what they're talking about from an administrative sense. But did you know that when one pledges himself to this body, one joins it, they pick up this mantle, this covenant to adopt as their own? That means that even the youth, no matter how young, ought to be encouraged to pray for the other members of the church to abide by this same code of conduct. And we lose so many of the youth, and you can't get them to do that because they see how mommy and daddy are. They see what things are like outside the church, and why am I going to do it if you're not going to do it? You tell me it's important. Yep. Do you pray with other people in the church, with your family, and set these examples? That's what we pledge together to do. There's a very high standard that we're trying to live up to as an example to the world around us, not because we're so great or super spiritual, but because we want to show the truth and the love of Christ to those around us because it's what we've experienced. Aren't you glad somebody prayed for you? Boy, and we're just too busy. Listen, we neglect these things at our own peril. In sickness and distress, to come to each other in aid. We lift up, not just in prayer, but we physically go to encourage. It's not just the pastor's job to go visit people when they're sick or to check on them when they're hurting. Did you know that as a church body, we're covenanted together to do that for one another on our own? I heard you were sick. I heard that in church today. I didn't know that. Do you need anything? Are you doing okay? Would you like a visit? It's not just the pastor's responsibility to do those things. We as a church body have pledged to do that of our own accord, one for another, to watch out for one another. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about if we see our brother have need and we shutteth up our bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of Christ in us? We won't even help our own brother in need. Well, that's someone else's job. Well, no, it's not. In Christian courtesy, Christian speech should be void of offense as much as humanly possible. Boy, the spirit of irony, sarcasm, and bitter, biting remarks should be cleaned out of a Christian's daily speech. And I love that thought, daily speech, because you may clean it out today, but you know what's going to happen tomorrow? It's going to sneak its way back in. These influences are going to take effect on us daily. Look, if we just put it the way I grew up with it, we ought to watch our mouth, the things that we say. We've pledged to God to do so, by the way. Paul wrote in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always seasoned with salt. Always. Let it be sweet. Speak a good word. Boy, that word fitly spoken in due season. How wonderful it is. We like the idea of the salt. Boy, when somebody has an open wound, our speech, well, we'll season it with salt. We got that part. That's not what it's talking about. These kinds of words spoken in love and seasoned with grace are attractive, desirable, and they are good expressions of God's love for all of us. So let us use. Then in matters of offense and reconciliation, we've already covered about being slow to wrath. Here, it's explicitly talking about that we are slow to take offense. We're to be of an understanding heart. We're not to have a short fuse and just wait for someone to light it. We are slow to take offense. And when offense is taken, whether we have caused it or we have received it, we have vowed to be quick for that reconciliation, to make things right. Misunderstanding, we're going to clear it up. A problem, we're going to address it. We're going to get past these things. Why? Because the Savior told us to. That's, again, do you know what happens if you don't forgive others and you ask for forgiveness? What the Bible says, don't get mad at me, you need to know this. The Bible says you ain't getting forgiven. Huh? But I thought God's loving and all we got to do is just confess. And thus, yes, in the proper attitude with that repentant heart, you turn back to him. He's not this genie in a bottle that, hey, I messed up. Can you clear this up for me? Poof, perfect. No, it's a turning to him and I made a mess of things. I did. I'm going back to your way. Lord, can you forgive me? Lord, can you help me back on the right path? Lord, can you fix these? Yes, he will. He honors his word. But if we don't forgive others, well, Lord says, I won't forgive you. A whole separate discussion. But we are to forgive as Jesus has forgiven us. No matter how badly one's been mistreated, they're still to seek reconciliation, even 70 times 7. Well, how often? I was quick this time, and the second time I was quick. The third time, I'm going to let it sit a little while, you know, let it boil, let it fester. Yeah. The fourth time, he did it on purpose. He knows what's happening. Fifth time, no, we seek reconciliation. And if we cannot get it, and church action is required in these kinds of situations, it's documented the appropriate course of action. And we vow to not just respect, but to participate in the disciplines of the church. Y'all had no idea what y'all agreed to when you joined yourself together to this body, did you? Then the final vow, and there's, again, so much here, but let's just close with this. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. Again, we'd address the issues about the universalism and these other flaws and heresies, and it's repeated back down here. When we separate from this body, we promise that we will join with another like body that holds these beliefs so that we can carry out this sacred vow and this sacred pledge. And what is it in a nutshell? Once again, it is simply to do what God has told his church to do. And we want that privilege of being involved in that work. And so we promise when we remove ourselves from this body for whatever reason, a lifelong vow, we will, as soon as possible, join to another like body that we can continue to be obedient to the commands of Christ. All right, everybody got that now. All right, I know it was 100 miles an hour, and I apologize, but tonight was it. The pastor's going to be back in the pulpit for Sunday schools and all next week, and so I wanted to get it finished up, these four lessons on the church covenant. Please get a copy of the church covenant. It is not an inspired document, just like these hymn books are not, but it encapsulates and summarizes the truths of Scripture in a quick and easily digestible manner that keeps them before our eyes and in our memory. Review the church covenant and ask yourself, am I upholding my sacred vows? I remind you, once again, any church that withers away or is dying, I can almost guarantee you, you can trace it to the broken vow, the church covenant. Any of these problems, well, it was the lack of finances, it's in there. Well, it was the lack of event, it's in there. Well, it was the people talk about each other, it's in there, it's in there. It was the worship really went, well, they didn't sustain the worship, it's in there. All of these problems come from breaking these sacred vows. And we need to make sure that we uphold and we maintain them. We've promised to do so. We've vowed a vow unto God. We ought to pay it. He takes no pleasure in fools, Ecclesiastes tells us, that just so carelessly, okay, I promise God I do. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Get a copy of this, take a picture of it. If you need a paper version, I would love to give it to you. Teach it to your family. Apply it to your personal life, that God may be glorified. Our Father, we thank you for this study. Lord, I know. Lord, it became very rushed and very summarized in the end, but I just pray that at least the eyes have been opened, our hearts are attentive to understand the duty and the responsibility that we have as being privileged to be a member of a local New Testament church, Lord, that we would be found faithful in our duty to her, in our service, and about upholding these values, which are not produced from the mind of man, but, Father, are found in your inspired word. May we be found faithful, for you have always been faithful to us. Please bless the worship hour and for the speaker tonight in a mighty way. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.